Thank you. Morning. Oh, that's a little weak. Everybody stayed up late last night playing with fireworks in your driveway, didn't you? I know we did at my house, and before long it was like 11 o'clock, and I was like, I've got to go to bed. But we are so excited that you're with us this morning. Thank you for joining us in worship. We are spread out again across our campus. We have people in here, we have people in the sanctuary, people outside, and then we also have people online. So we want to just welcome everyone, let you know that you're part of a family, whether you're here physically or not. If you are online, we do ask that you just say, hey, I'm here, or something like that, so we can have a record that you were with us today, and that kind of thing. We are very privileged to live in a country where we are free to gather and assemble and worship our Almighty God, and we don't want to take that for granted. You know, 244 years ago, we won't to recognize that people found it important that we could have religious liberty. And so I'm a big fan of history. I've spent this weekend watching documentaries on George Washington and kind of how he got his start and that kind of thing. So for me, 4th of July is a great weekend. It's probably my favorite non-religious holiday. Obviously, Christmas and Easter and my birthday are the top. But then there's 4th of July, which everyone should celebrate my birthday. So just saying. But we do want to welcome you. I'm going to pray, and then we will continue to worship together this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for the freedom to assemble and worship. We thank you that, God, you've given us just unlimited freedoms, Lord, here in our country. And we just pray that we don't take them for granted. God, as we pause today to worship you, may we be reminded of all that you've done for us, both in the past and in the present and the future. God, we just pray, Lord, seeking you this morning, that you will speak to our hearts. Use me this morning to communicate your message. God, guide us through this time. Lord, we love you and praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We good? Can you hear me? How about now? There we go. Hello. All right. So, obviously, I'm not Pastor Roy. So he is on vacation this week, and he is, I guess, currently traveling back now to be able to do a funeral this afternoon and then go back on vacation. So I am filling the pulpit this week and next week. And so if you don't like me this week, maybe give me another shot next week. I don't know. But I've spent the past couple weeks knowing that this day was coming, and I was like, you know what, let's spend 2 weeks working on a sermon instead of one. Let's see what really good something we can put together. Well, just to let you know, it didn't work out the way I planned. I started one sermon, and I got going on, and I was like, I don't like that. And then I got on another one, and I was like, no, that don't work. And then the next one didn't work, and the next one didn't work, and the next one didn't work, and the next one didn't work. Do you see the pattern? So I told Tracy Blevins this morning, I'm like, I still don't know what I'm talking about, which was not true. But this past Monday, I actually got some clarity on the direction that I would go. I've always been the type of person to kind of overthink things. When it would come to making a purchase, I could carry it around the store for the whole time I'm there. And then right before checking out, I look down and go, you know what? I really don't need this. And I put it down, and I would leave without buying anything. I've overthought, you know, things like, well, why don't such and such like me? Why am I not good at this? And so I have a slight OCD. I'm not going to say I'm like completely obsessive compulsive, but part of that is the fact that I get hung up and I obsess over even thoughts, not just, you know, you see people who wash their hands 15 times a day or something like that, but even thoughts can become obsessions in our minds, and you just circulate it over and over again. Some of the things I do, I've mentioned before, that I color coordinate and style organize my closet. T-shirts all together, colors, pants all together, colors, blue jeans, there's only one color, but khakis, one color, but I have different styles of khaki, so then all of this has to be together, and so on and so forth in there. So when I'm drying my hands after washing my hands, there's a certain sound that pulling 5 paper towels makes, that if I don't hear that sound, I will pull another paper towel. So it's like, and if it messes up, if the rhythm's messed up, I have to do it all over again, which sounds wasteful, and it probably is, but in my mind, there's this lack of completion that happens if I don't do that. So it wasn't good enough. But back to buying things, as a young kid and talking myself out of stuff, I was on a field trip 1 year with my class. We'd went to Charleston, South Carolina, and we were at Fort Sumter. And most of y'all know that Revolutionary War, Civil War, I love that stuff. So I was buying souvenirs. And as a kid in fifth or sixth grade, souvenirs, you just kind of grabbed whatever looked nice. And so as I held them in my hands and I had all this cool stuff, I started talking myself out of it one by one. I wound up with some stamps commemorating the Civil War. Not what I wanted, but I talked myself out of it. And when I got home, I told my mom and dad, I'm like, hey, look, you'll be proud of me. I saved money. And they're like, well, yeah, but at the same time, we sent you a little extra money so that you could get souvenirs that you liked. So in that moment, I had missed an opportunity because I had overthought something. That has followed me into adulthood. But now, Ashley gave me permission one time, a long time ago, said, if you really want it, just buy it. She didn't understand what she was doing. She opened up Pandora's box, and you know, if you know anything about Pandora's box, you can't get it closed. So me and Amazon have become really, 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 really good friends. So now she has put a lock on the box and says, if you don't have a gift card, stay off of Amazon. So, but we got Prime, and it ships free. It could be here in 2 days. It's good stuff. But it was definitely a rule that I needed. So when I think about the way I was, I try to process it and think about, all right, what made me start thinking like that? Why do I think the way I think? And so the title of today's sermon is, Have You Ever Thought About What You're Thinking About? So when I was laying in the bed, and this message came to me at like 10 after 11 one night, I just started kind of to doze off into that happy place where life disappears and sleep overtakes me. And in that moment, this question popped in my head. Anybody ever had a question pop in your head in the middle of the night and you can't get back to sleep? So I grab my phone and I just start typing. And so I came up with this thought of, have I ever really thought about what I'm thinking about? And most of you are looking at me going, I bet his answer is no, because we question whether or not he thinks about anything most of the time. And I have to put that out there before certain people in this room start saying, bet you haven't, or stuff like that. So, yes, I've thought about what I thought I was thinking about, but I've never really thought about what I was thinking about. Did y'all follow that? No? All right, bear with me, because you're going to have to take a journey into my mind. And scary, dark place, lots of cobwebs and stuff like that, but there's one in there somewhere. So I was praying to God. I was like, because like I told you, I'd spent a whole week, I spent my vacation thinking about what I was going to preach on, which kind of takes away the whole vacation aspect. But I wanted God to speak through me, and I was having a really hard time, I don't know, with lining up with his line of communication or something. And so when that hit me, I was praying. I said, God, just please give me something. Give me a direction, give me a word, give me a phrase. And so I got the question. But have you ever really tried to filter, process, rationalize, explain, correct, rebuke, reprove, or enjoy what you're thinking? The fact that you are able to have individual thoughts and that it's able to come out of your mind, and it's part of what makes you unique, but have you ever really thought about what's triggering those synapses to fire? And a lot of us don't. A lot of us just say, you know what, is what it is. And I'll be honest, most of my decisions are, is what it is, because once I do something, there's really no taking it back. So we're going to do something a little fun this morning. And so this is an opportunity where people online can interact with us as well. So I'm going to give you something versus something. And so I'll say, stand up if you prefer this, stay seated if you prefer this. And we're just going to see where we're at as a group. If you can't stand, raise your hand. That way we know you're making an effort to go up. All right, so here we go. First question, stand up if you prefer grape strawberry or grape strawberry. I'm telling you, it's a rough morning. Grape jelly over strawberry jelly. So stand up if you prefer grape jelly, or raise your hand. Stay seated if you prefer strawberry. All right, I'm a strawberry guy. So y'all are good people that stood up and raised your hand. Second one, stand up if you prefer Coke over Pepsi. Oh, see, now we're getting into like real conversation here that determines our salvation, right? All right, next one. Stand up if you prefer Carolina over Duke. Saved people. All right. Next one, stand up if you prefer hamburgers over hot dogs. I'm definitely a hamburger guy. And if there's not two patties on it, it's only half the meal, right? So, all right, sit down. Stand up if you prefer baseball over football. My people, staying seated. See, I played football. I love baseball, so I'm kind of torn between the two. But all right, let's keep going. Stand up if you prefer bone-in wings versus boneless chicken wings. Now stay standing if you prefer all flats and not the drumettes. Yeah, because you just pop them suckers apart and suck the meat right off the bone. That's what I do. People are like, oh my gosh, how do you eat that? Like this. All right, y'all are good people. All right, stand up if you prefer Batman over Superman. We're going to start to get a little nerdy here now. Oh, see, Superman's my boy. All right, next one. Marvel Comics, that's your X-Men and Avengers and all that. versus DC Comics, which is Batman, Superman, Justice League. So stand up if you prefer Marvel over DC. Marvel does have better movies. I'm just going to say that. All right. Stand up if you prefer Apple over Android. All right. We're going to get faster because I got a really long list of these. Stand up if you prefer Mac over PC. Because once you go Mac, you never go back, right? That's right. All right. Stand up if you prefer cursing or not cursing. David Bowman, stand up. I'm just kidding. All right. Good call on that one. Stand up if you prefer pride over humility. Oh, we're starting to deal with real stuff now, aren't we? Stand up if you prefer honesty over deception. Someone being honest with you versus them deceiving you. Now, here's the tough question. What makes one okay and not the other? Why did you choose the things you chose versus the alternative? Somebody give me some answers. It's what you like. It works better. When we started dealing with the cussing and the humility and stuff, as believers, we shouldn't do those things, right? Well, why shouldn't we? What was that? I can't hear. Why shouldn't we do bad things over Christian things, basically? It's the best way. But how do you know that? Because every time, and this is going to sound bad, but every time I've sinned, it was something that I liked. It was something I enjoyed. It wasn't something that I was like, oh man, I hate this. So why don't we ever think about the things we're thinking about? Why is it just a reaction? Why is it just because it is what it is? How do we keep that in check? When you read a post on social media and you're trying to cheer for it or disagree with it, why do you choose what you choose? How do you determine whether or not you're going to agree or disagree with it? When you hear certain politically charged messages, how do you mentally interact with those messages? Are they filtered through predisposed biases? Maybe the way you were raised or you were just told you were supposed to believe this? Is it filtered through cultural approval? Well, the world's going to think I'm this if I don't say this or if I do say that. Or are they genuinely filtered through the lens of Jesus? Do we really stop and think before we speak? That was something my parents tried to teach me a long time ago, was to think before I speak, and that message never really took, and most of the time I speak before I think, and then I think about what I spoke, and then I think I shouldn't have spoke. Our minds are a battlefield. Satan is trying to distort and convince you that no truth, half truth, three-quarters truths, and almost truths are truths. But the reality is that if it's not truth, it's not truth. Well, it's just a little white lie. It's still a lie. Well, nobody got hurt. It doesn't matter. The fact is that you chose the non-truth over the truth. And the bad thing is that a lot of believers today are buying into the not fully truths. With the whole question about thinking about what you're thinking, I ask myself, why do I think the way I think about the things I think about? Why is it that I believe a certain way? Why is it that I am convinced that The Goonies is the greatest movie ever made? Why is that? Often the answer is because I like it, because I was raised this way. Other answers include, well, I read it from a reliable source. I saw it on Facebook, so it has to be true, right? Or such and such said it, and they would never lie to me, so it has to be truth. We all have our reasons for why we think and believe the way that we do. Some of it is just the human nature. It's often the way we rationalize things or draw conclusions about things is it just seems or feels right. So if it feels right, we're leaning on kind of our heart, our emotion of how it may completed me or whatever. Did you know that the heart is not the best judge of character? Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? The word deceitful here is literally translated perverse. It means that it is beyond cure. So needless to say, our heart and our intuition can't always be trusted. Outside sources can't always be trusted. In a day and age where everyone has an agenda, they're going to present to you their facts that points to them being right. I have lost faith in the media. I don't care if you say right wing, left wing, chicken wing, whatever. Everybody's going to promote their agenda. And so everything's biased. You look one way, that they think one, they think another. There's no middle ground. There's no cooperation. It's all just what we want, when we want, how we want it. And if you think differently, you're the idiot. The sad part is that some of us will buy into misleading information. We assume that it's right just because it was in the news. I worry about us as believers and our inability to filter truth. I worry about the way we think and our measures for rationalizing or justifying the way we think and live. Often we're so inwardly focused that we want to hear the things that we want to hear to make us feel better about the things that we're doing. When that happens, it clouds our ability to discern truth. Because we're just wanting what we want. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:3 that a time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. And I believe that we live in a day where people are rising up teachers to tell them what they want to hear. I've had people come to me and say, David, what do you think about this person? And I go and I start looking. I'm like, well, this person said that Jesus took off his divinity to do miracles. So in that moment, this guy is saying that Jesus was no longer God. He was human just to do the miracles. Well, if Jesus took off his divinity, in that moment, he became a fallible person and is no longer the way, the truth, and the life, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. You know what the person said? Well, you don't have to believe everything they say. Then why listen to them to begin with? I think that a lot of people have itchy ears. And instead of thinking about what we're hearing and thinking about what we're thinking, we're not filtering it through truth. We're just thinking about how it makes it feel and does it meet our agenda. So how do we move from soothing the itchy ears to discerning truth and thinking through the things that are of God and being able to filter out the things that are not? And I think it all begins on how we give ourselves to Christ at the point of salvation. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me from this, this, and this, but I'd like to keep this over here. I'm not willing to give up this group of friends, Lord, so if you can just use me to reach them. And so Paul said, to reach people, I have to become all things to all people, so I got to keep doing what they're doing so that I can save them. That's how that works, right? No. Because if you look just like them, you just blend in. If you think just like them, you're just like them. So Paul speaks to this in Romans 12, 1 through 2, and that's where I'm coming from this morning. So if you want to take a moment to open there, I'm going to take a swig of water because my tongue's sticking to the roof of my mouth. Eventually, I would have sounded like Daffy or Donald Duck. All right, Romans 12, 1 through 2. And my version may be a little bit different from yours, but this is the CSB. It says this, Romans 12, 1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. We have to start to live and think differently if we are going to be able to know and understand and discern what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is for our lives. In verse 1, Paul says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, you know what he's saying there? Listen up. Because of all that God has done for you and all that God is, the evidence that God has laid out, the proof in the pudding, because of the great mercies of God, I urge you to. And that word urge means I beg of you, I implore, I ask of you to do this. And what does he ask us to do? But to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. The Greek root of the word here is translated from urge, is translated to mean to call alongside to help. Now, I implore you to call alongside to help. Well, who are you going to ask to help? Well, in view of the mercies of God, I'm guessing we should ask God. And there's comfort in this, which means that it's not a solo effort, that this dying daily, this giving our bodies as a complete sacrifice, it's with the help of God that we are able to do it. When Jesus ascended, he said, I'm going to send you a helper. You don't have to worry. So when you become a believer, that helper comes to dwell in you. That helper is the Holy Spirit. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This means we're able to follow through and do this with the help of God, more specifically, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We offer our bodies as our spiritual act of worship. There is no act of worship greater than you being able to say, God, this is your life. Live it. Take away my biases. Take away my wants. Take over and live this life the way you want to live it. But you're not a remote control car. God's not sitting there with joysticks making you go left, right, forward, or backwards. That has to come from you. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're able to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. It means that how we live our lives is a direct representation of how we worship. Think about everything you've done this week. What does that say about how you worship God? Whether it's interaction in the store, whether it's reading a post on Facebook and commenting, how is your life reflecting your worship? And that's a tough question because I know for me that I don't always watch things on TV that God would sit there and go, hey, get the popcorn, we're going to enjoy this. Granted, most of what I watch are reality shows, and I've been watching that Holy Moly, which is a really fun putt-putt show, but even then there's things said in that don't glorify God. So how do we live? How does how we live speak to how we worship? We have to have a changed life. Verse 2, we have to also have a changed mind. We can't think the way we used to think and still be Christian in the way we think. I have compared it to taking the engine out of an old car and putting it in a new car. Yeah, the outside looks good, but it's still got that old engine inside of it. And if that engine's not been taken care of, it's going to fall apart. It doesn't make the car new just to put a new outside on it. There has to be a change within. The interior has to be changed. The engine has to be changed. If you want a car with 0 miles on it, everything from ground up has to be brand new. The only way for us to be different than the rest of the world is change the way we think. Which goes back to my original question of, have you ever thought about what you're thinking about? Most of us don't. Most of us just go on, well, that's just the way I was raised, and we just keep on trucking. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we are to take captive every thought so that we can obey Christ. Have you ever tried to take captive every thought? I gave up on that a long time ago because I have a lot of thoughts. Some of them make sense, some of them not so much. But when I start thinking about what I'm thinking about, I start to think about why I'm thinking about it. I know that's a lot of thinking abouts, but at the same time, has Christ changed my mind so that when I think about racial injustice, politics, whatever, yada, 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 boneless versus bone-in, Duke versus Carroll, has God changed my mind so that when I think about these things and dwell on these things, I filter them through him? That's what it means to take captive. You grasp it and you're like, all right, thought. If you have nothing to do with Jesus, you're gone. But if you do, let me embrace it and internalize it. We are to practice an inward discipline of filtering every thought through the lens of Christ. When we filter our thoughts, it in turn filters our actions. Because you see, an action can't happen without a thought process having taken place before the action. Well, a reflex can, not true. Your body has to sense that that spot was hit for the reflex to happen. A thought has to occur. You can't breathe without thinking about breathing, even though you may not be thinking about breathing. I'll just hold my breath till I turn purple. Well, when you pass out, you're going to start breathing again. Because your brain tells you you need to breathe. If you want to offer your complete, entire, whole self to Christ in spiritual worship, then you have to change the way you think. The word that Paul uses here is metamorpheo. Metamorpheo. What's that sound like? Metamorphosis, which is where we get our word metamorphosis, which means a change from the inside. It's an inward change that creates an outward change. The change in our hearts when we accept Christ as Savior creates a change in our mind, which in turn creates a change in the way we live our lives. It's the whole concept of a caterpillar. And I know that's really simple, but you have a caterpillar that doesn't have what? Wings. So it curls itself up in a cocoon. So something happens within the cocoon, but also it happens within the caterpillar so that when it hatches from the cocoon, it's a beautiful butterfly. It no longer looks like that little worm crawling around on the ground. Because a metamorphosis has taken place. A change from within created a change from the outside. And so when we accept Christ, he's to change our inside. He's to change our heart, which changes our mind. So everything happening inside creates an outward change so that we're not a little worm scooching around anymore, but we're a beautiful butterfly that can sing praises and worship God in the way we live. The same word that metamorpheo is the same word that Matthew uses when he describes the transfiguration of Christ. Something happened within Christ that changed his outward appearance. When we have a renewed mind that has been transformed, we have a mind that is completely saturated with God's word and a mind that God has control of. Why is it that we have so compartmentalized every facet of our lives, from the teams we choose, the foods we eat, the politics we follow, to the comments we make on Facebook? Why have we so compartmentalized all of it that we tell God, you can have this, 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 and this, but not this? Because that's not how it works. You are to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and you are to be renewed by the transformation of your mind. So if you're being renewed, if you're being changed, you're no longer to be yours. You're no longer saying, God, you could... Anybody seen half a butterfly come out of a cocoon? That don't work. So we can't just give half of our lives to God and half not and say, all right, God, do your work. Well, I've only got one wing. So many of us don't want to allow God that kind of control in our lives because we still want to control things. We want to have mastery over ourselves and what we do and how we choose what we choose. We still want the same things we wanted before Christ. We just don't want to go to hell anymore. That's not how it works. That's how it starts, but you have to be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Basically, we all have these itches, and we want to make the Bible say what we want it to say so that the itch is stopped, but the conviction's not there to deal with the cause of the itch. If you can live your life any way that you want and never experience conviction, you've got a serious problem. Because the heart's deceitful, the mind's a wrecked place. So if you can live your life and just go by what your heart tells you and never feel conviction, then has the Spirit really taken a hold of you? Have you given God control of your heart and your mind so that you live a sacrificed life? The other option is you're 100% in tune with God and you know exactly what His will is, and you are just perfect, set to go, and never to worry about anything ever again. That's unrealistic as long as we're here in human bodies. Until we completely surrender our minds and our lives to the control of Christ, then we will never be able to discern what the good, pleasing, and perfect will is. One of my study Bibles said this about it: our true worship entails offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, which means dedication of the total person to living for God's honor. Christians are to be different from non-Christian society. We should experience a progressive transformation of life by renewing our mind. The mind is changed by prayer, by reading and reflection on God's word, by worship, and by meditation on God's acts as the Holy Spirit works in us. According to Romans 12, 1 through 2, you can't think and live the way you used to if you've become a believer. That has to be changed. Tony Evans said this: the renewal allows God to merge His thoughts with our thoughts so that He can bring His plan into our lives. He calls it the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. God has a purpose and a plan for each of our lives, one that finds us when we are fully surrendered to Him. Here's the point I want you to take heart. It's the application for how we move from being a conformed to our world mindset to a transformed by God mindset. When we think about what it takes to transform the way we think, I believe it requires from us the ability to give God permission to change us from within. If we tell God, you know what, I still want to be me, I just want to live with you eternally, we haven't given Him permission to change us because we still want to be us. We still want that death grip on whatever it is we refuse to give over to Him. But I think the answer comes to us in Psalms 139. And here you have David praying, but this has become a continual part of my prayer life. Because I don't want the world to take over the way I think. Now, am I saying I'm perfect? No, I'm not. And I mess up just like everybody else. But this is what David says in Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Search me, God, and know everything I'm thinking, my motives, whatever it is. And if there's any offensive way in me, God, change me. Transform me. Metamorph me. In common language, David is asking God to put his thoughts and motives in check. And if God finds anything that's offensive, David's allowing God to change that. We have to be willing to let God change us from the inside out, to change our heart, to change our mind, to change the way we live completely. By asking this of God, we are allowing God to put us in check mode whenever we need to be checked. We can't be afraid of him calling us to live a better life. Well, God, I won't get to do this. Who cares? Because if you are offering yourself completely as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your goal no longer is you, but it's to worship the one true God. It's only when we allow God to check us and change us that we can live in the everlasting way, which when you look back at what Paul was saying in Romans, is the way of thinking and living that allows us to know and discern what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Robbie Gallaty says this, God is the believer's ultimate judge of character, advocate of character, and resource for activating righteous character. The person seeking growth in Christian graces and character should therefore begin and continue in the ethical light and warmth of God himself. We should be moving in the light of God. We should be so close to God that we just feel like he's wrapped around us all the time. Well, David, that's not possible. Maybe. But it's something you work forward to. In this psalm, David's allowing God to continue to search his heart and root out any unrighteousness. According to Tony Evans, we're a lot like David. We really don't know ourselves. We really haven't put a lot of thought in to why we do the things we do, why we think the way we think. Our prayer needs to be that God's Spirit would help us understand the way we think, the influences around us that cause us to think or act a certain way. And if there be any wicked way in us, offensive way in us, that we allow God to take that from us. Maybe, may we be open to true repentance and seeking God's forgiveness so that we can totally submit our lives as a true act of worship and allow our minds to no longer be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by God. Warren Wiersbe says this, the world wants to control your mind, but God wants to transform your mind. The world wants to change your mind so it exerts pressure from without, but the Holy Spirit changes your mind by releasing power from within. If the world controls your thinking, you are conformed. If God controls your thinking, you are transformed. God transforms our minds and makes us spiritually minded by using his word. As you spend time meditating on God's word, memorizing it, and making a part of your inner man, God will gradually make your mind more spiritual. So as our musicians get ready to play, the invitation is this. What are you thinking about what you're thinking about? Why are you thinking about what you're thinking about? What does the way we think say about what we believe? What does the way we think say about the transformation that God has made on our lives or our commitment level to him? What transformation or metamorphosis is God wanting to do in your life that you have been resisting? Have you been trying to avoid making the decision to follow Christ because of some preconceived notions that outside influences have had on the way you think? Have you completely surrendered all aspects of the way you think and live to God? Are there areas that you have a death grip on that you need to release to God? I'll be here to pray with you. If you're online, send us a private message and we'll talk to you. If you don't want to show up in front of people, I'm here all week. We want to help you begin to have a transformed mind and not a conformed mind. So as our musicians play, make the decision today to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Make the decision that God is working in you right now. So have you thought about what you're thinking about? Have you ever really paid attention to the fact that maybe your mind hasn't been transformed the way it should have? And if not, what's the holdup? Multiple sources that I read this week and a couple that I quoted today said this transformation happens through prayer, through reading God's word, meditating on it, memorizing it, meditating on what God's doing in your life and through your life. The focus for a transformed mind is what? God. It's his words. It's his thoughts. It's his evidence that he's given us. But we have to be willing to allow God to control every aspect of our life. So as we leave today, I want to remind everybody that we have our offering boxes at the back door. We have one on a table outside. If you're in the sanctuary, you can give by putting it in the offering plate. Or if you're watching online, you can always give online. Those options are always there. We just want to make sure that you have the opportunity to worship through giving this morning. In my closing prayer, I'll pray over the offering and everything. But I just want to say that I am thankful for a country where I can preach God's word. I am thankful for a country where I am free to think and believe what Scripture says without having to conform to what the world says. But most of all, I'm thankful of God who saw the need for my salvation and who created a way so that I could have a restored relationship with him. So I'm going to pray and we'll be dismissed. Check Facebook. I don't think there's anything going on this week. I do know that there is a funeral this afternoon for Ken Green. So check for the time of that and everything. But we want to be in prayer for his family. We want to be in prayer for our country right now. There's a lot of people thinking a lot of stuff, and maybe it's not exactly what we need to be thinking. Maybe God's put something on our heart that we need to do in response to this. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you. God, may we seek to have hearts and minds that are transformed by you and by your word and by the things you've done in our lives. May we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us to help morph us into the beautiful creation you've created us to be. Allow us to share your love with others through the things we say, through the things we do, and how we reach those who are hurting. God, we pray for all those who aren't with us today for whatever reason, that you'll be with them wherever they are, that you will bless them and take care of them. We pray, Lord, just as we leave this place, that you will keep us safe and allow us to be back here next week. God, search us, know our hearts, know our concerns. And if there's any way, wicked way in us, God, I just pray that you remove it from us and allow us to live in the everlasting way. God, we pray for the offering today that you will bless it and that it will be used to glorify you and your kingdom and that it will be used to do your work here on earth. God, we love you and we praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
To be